Good morning, everyone, and I'm glad you tuned in today. I'm your host, Nadia Shamsuddin, and I have a very distinguished guest with me this morning, Mr. Jerome Corsi. Jerome Corsi is a staff reporter for WorldNet Daily. He received a PhD from Harvard University in political science in 1972 and has written many books and articles, including his latest bestseller, The Late Great USA. Corsi co-authored with John O'Neill, the number one New York Times bestseller, Unfit for Command. Swift Boat Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry. Other books include Showdown with Nuclear Iran, Black Gold Stranglehold, The Myth of Scarcity and the Politics of Oil, Atomic Iran, and Minuteman, The Battle to Secure America's Borders. In his New York Times bestseller, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada, Jerome Corsi proves that the benignly named, quote, security and prosperity partnership created at a meeting between George W. Bush, Stephen Harper, and Vicente Fox is in fact the same kind of regional integration plan that led Europe to form the EU. According to Corsi, the elites in Europe who wanted to create a European Union knew that, quote, it would be necessary to conceal from the peoples of Europe just what was being done in their name until the process was so far advanced that it had become irreversible. Could the same thing be happening here? Is American sovereignty doomed? Well, good morning, Jerome, and welcome to the program.
Nadia, great to be with you. Thank you.
You know, one thing I wanted to start with is McCain's win in Florida last night,
right,
which is alarming to me, especially in light of his immigration stance. And it's not by chance that his being from McCain, it's a key border state. On Monday, in the National Review Online, Mark Krikorian quoted you, and he brought up the issue of one of McCain's staffers, Hispanic outreach director specifically, saying, quote, I want the third generation, the seventh generation, I want them all to think Mexico first.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I've been writing about Juan Hernandez, who is the Hispanic outreach director for John McCain. It's a non-paid position. He is, though he's on staff, and Hernandez was formerly in the cabinet of Vicente Fox in Mexico. He was the appointed to watch out for the interests of Mexican citizens living abroad. And people remember Juan Williams. He was all over the cable news on, you know, syndicated news on Fox, on MSNBC. He debated with Bill O'Reilly. He debated with Michelle Malkin. He kind of looks like the Burger King guy, you know, with his little mustache and beard. And he was always in your face about Mexico first. You know, the illegal immigrants had a right to be here, and we needed to protect. He even wrote a book that was subtitled, and I've got the book right here. Pull it off my shelf. It was subtitled, it was called The New American Pioneers. The New American Pioneers are the illegal immigrants. And the subtitle is, Why Are We Afraid of Mexican Immigrants? This is Juan Hernandez. I mean, this is, you know, John McCain saying that he's now got the message after the Kennedy-McCain comprehensive immigration reform that they not once but twice tried to jam down the throat of the Senate, the American people. And yet, McCain has got Juan Hernandez representing him in the Hispanic community, giving a wink-wink message that, you know, as soon as I'm president, then we'll really get this shamnesty bill done. I mean, it sounds like just a public relations makeover, not a fundamental change in John McCain's political beliefs on immigration, which still seem to me to be open borders.
Well, and that's it. And we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation, because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run, yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
And welcome back to the program. We're talking with Jerome Corsi about the North American Union. And Jerome, I wanted to ask you, in light of McCain's Florida win last night, how does that affect what we could expect of the outcome of the election, considering all of his fingers stuck in all this stuff with Mexico?
Well, you know, I think that the problem is that on issues certainly of immigration or securing the borders, John McCain and Hillary Clinton are going to be hard to tell apart.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, remember Kennedy-McCain sponsored, Ted Kennedy and John McCain sponsored this comprehensive immigration reform bill. Now, John McCain is saying he has understood that we need to secure our borders. Now, what does that mean? If you push John McCain on, does it mean we have to build a fence? I haven't heard him say we have to build a fence. What I've heard him say is that, you know, we need to have some pathway to citizenship. We need to have guest workers. He's on the same themes he was then, with maybe a little different emphasis. And this Juan Hernandez, whom he has as this Hispanic outreach director, who was a Mexican cabinet officer under Vicente Fox, promoting the rights of Mexicans to live in the United States legally or illegally. You know, this is a crisis. We've got 10% of Mexico's population living in the United States today as Mexican nationals, with 47 consular offices here to protect their rights to live in our country as Mexican citizens. By 2010, 2 years from now, it's going to be one out of every five people born in Mexico, 20%, living in the United States.
Wow.
Now, this is what they did in Europe, is they created the fait accompli, you know, of mixing the populations. You're European, you can go live and work anywhere you want to live and work. and ultimately ends up in the European Union passport. We've already become a dual nation, and I don't think John McCain's going to reverse that trend.
Well, what are the similarities between the EU and how they drafted it and the initiatives that they took and the trends that developed to take them to that point? What are we seeing?
Well, the European Union began 50 years ago, 1957, 51 years ago, with a coal and steel agreement. And the elite that put it into place in Europe told the Europeans it was only an economic agreement. It would never lead to a political union. But, you know, we've now got the memoirs of some of the architects of this, like Jean Monnet, before he died, wrote his memoirs, and in it he openly admits that he was using a stealth process. He always knew that if he could get enough economic agreements between the countries, they'd have to have legal agreements and judicial agreements, because the trade disputes in their very nature would become international, and the laws of one country wouldn't solve them. So they went through a whole series of evolutionary steps. They went to create a European common market, again saying, oh no, this is just a common market. It doesn't have anything to do with a political union. They had, you know, various institutions to create a European community, like the European Atomic Energy Agency. And then, you know, finally the Treaty of Maastricht created the European Union in 1999, and then they moved, by 2002, the euro was being adopted as the currency, so that when you, you know, went to Italy and used an ATM, you got euros instead of lira. Lira was gone. And over the 50-year period of time, the Europeans were moved into a situation where today it's the bureaucrats, the nameless working group bureaucrats in Brussels and Luxembourg, that tell the individual legislators in Italy and France and Germany and the other countries what laws they can pass and what laws they can't pass. I mean, you've got some poor shopholder up in London, we wrote about WorldNet Daily, that is being criminally sued because she tried to sell some commodity, some groceries, in pounds instead of, you know, metric units. And since the European Union has decided that metric units are going to be used, even in Great Britain, it's a crime now not to use metric units. Well, that's how, you know, that's the loss of sovereignty. It's how the bureaucrats take over. And we're headed down the same path. That's what the Security and Prosperity.
You say in your book that Monet knew that Europeans would not accept the loss of their national identity and their cultures. How are North Americans going to react to that?
Well, if you said to the average American, in fact, one of the reasons it's hard to believe this book is if you told people, which I have, if we continue down this road, we'll become North America, and you'll have a North American passport in your wallet. You'll have a Merrow's new currency, like the euro, in your wallet. People say that could never happen. Well, they said that in Europe 50 years ago too. But we've created the Security and Prosperity Partnership. It was just declared. There was no law. There was no treaty. President Bush attended a summit meeting in Waco, Texas, March 23rd, 2005. The three leaders come out and they say, we're in the Security and Prosperity Partnership. And go to the websites. Go to spp.gov, sampeterpaul.gov, and read the 2005 and 2006 report to the leaders. There's a lot of reports to read there. And you'll see that we have 20 working groups, which is our bureaucrats meeting with the bureaucrats in Mexico and Canada, and they are integrating and harmonizing our laws right now. I mean, this is a serious issue. I did a Freedom of Information Act request. I got 2,000 pages of documents, ultimately from the federal government. And I published the documents, and, you know, in the book, I'm able to print, I think it's on page 81, let me just take a look at it here, I got an organizational chart for the working groups. And all these little boxes, it's page 81, all the little boxes of the working groups, you know, the North American Transportation Working Group, North American Food and Agricultural Working Group, North American Environment Working Group, headed by top policy officers in the bureaucracy in the three governments. They have one top leader for each of the three governments. They report up to the next level of boxes to the three cabinet secretaries, the United States, the Secretary of State Rice, Chertoff, and Homeland Security, and Gutierrez and Commerce. Then the boxes go into the White House. They report to the Homeland Security Council, the National Security Council, and up to the Office of the President. Now, this chart, organizational chart, that I got in the Freedom of Information Act is not published anywhere on any government website. It's not on SPP.gov. And, you know, this SPP.gov in a little section called Myths versus Facts says, oh, this is just a dialogue between the three countries. Well, dialogues, when you call up your friend and say, how are you doing? An organizational chart that you don't publish involving three countries is a shadow government that's already organized on a multinational basis, a trilateral shadow government that's in effect. Our government won't have the honesty to publish the organizational chart. I have to get it sent to me in a Freedom of Information Act request.
Well, has a constitution for this merger already been drafted, do you think?
I think it's the way they did it in Europe is first they got all the regulations together. See, they've got the advisory group here is the North American Competitiveness Council, which is 30 hand-picked multinational corporations in the three countries. The Chambers of Commerce picked these multinational corporations. This was encouraged and designed and assisted by David Rockefeller's Council on the Americas. That Council on the Americas has the most comprehensive information until recently about the North American Competitiveness Council that was available anywhere. And these business people, the multinational business people, meet with the working group bureaucrats. When I was up at Montebello, Quebec, in the third summit for the Security and Prosperity Partnership, the three leaders met. It was, you know, a secluded resort, and they did build a double-layer fence around the resort to keep people away from the leaders and the bureaucrats. The only people who met with the working group bureaucrats was the North American Competitiveness Council. There was no C-SPAN, there was no labor unions, no public interest groups. And what they were doing in those meetings was they were, you know, integrating and harmonizing laws and regulations again so that we have a North American steel policy. We have a North American water policy. We have a North American avian flu policy. We don't have U.S. policies anymore. They've been, and these, you know, I've documented some 200 discussed memorandum of understanding and other agreements that we've signed in these trilateral working groups. They're discussed on SPP.gov, but they're very rarely published anywhere, not even in the Federal Register. Most congressmen and senators don't even know about it.
Well, I can see Mexico being easily persuaded, but Canada, I wouldn't see. What is the interest that they would have in going along with this?
Well, the driving factor here is the multinational corporations. So you've already got a number of big investors in Canada and the multinational corporate leaders saying, look, our biggest market is the United States. We export to the United States. That's 80% of our business. And so they, for instance, don't like currency risk because when the Canadian dollar, the loonie, you know, named after that, the loonie bird on the back of the Canadian dollar coin, when it is more in value, which it has been recently, than the U.S. dollar, that hurts Canadian exports. So the Canadian investors, the millionaires, the multinational business owners of these companies that export, say, let's create a common currency. That way we don't have export currency risk. They say, let's have a common set of regulations so we don't have to make different products in Canada and different products in the United States. Now, that sounds great. Let's simplify regulations. But, you know, we disagree with Canada. Canada disagrees with us on some important issues like food additives, dyes, pesticides. Are we just going to adopt Canada's regulations or are they going to adopt ours? And we're going to forget about the health concerns or our environmental concerns or workplace safety concerns that our regulations have put into place for us? Because now we're going to integrate with Canada. If they have different ones, we're going to change ours. That's what
well,
it's
and
about.
That's the question. Who's the top dog? Who is going to resolve a lot of these questions? Who is going to have the last word?
Top dog is the business interest. And if they don't like the regulations, it's going to go. Even if that regulation was put into place to protect health or food safety or environmental safety or workplace safety, the multinational corporations behind closed doors are going to erase the regulation.
Well, money is always the bottom line, isn't it? We're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
And we're back. We're talking with Jerome Corsi, and our topic today is the North American Union. And Jerome, just before the break, we were talking about the fact that it will be the policies of the multinational corporations that will establish or be sort of the arbitrators, if you will, of decisions. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, how is our current economic crisis setting the stage for the North American Union?
Well, Nadia, I write a whole chapter on the, you know, what's happening to the economy. I argue that Americans would never be ready to give up the dollar if it remains strong. So, you know, the engineered crisis, and I've been writing about this for 2 years, is that the U.S. economy would crash, the dollar would crash, gold would go up in price, exactly what we're experiencing right now. And the difficulty is, in trying to figure out a recovery, is that we shipped so many jobs to China. I've got an article on WorldNet Daily today. The 24 states that are going to vote in Super Tuesday have lost 1.5 million manufacturing jobs to China, largely, since George Bush took office. And so the stage is set for a very deep economic crisis in the United States, and one that I'm sure when we emerge from it, we'll be told the solution is, look, we need to be like Europe. Europe's got a common market with all the European countries together and a currency that's strong. So let's merge the United States, Mexico, and Canada. We'll save the dollar by converting into the Amero. And we'll combine with Canada and a common currency with Mexico. And look, they'll say that Americans will get the natural resources in Canada. We're increasingly becoming dependent on the oil from Alberta tar sands. They'll say we will get the free the cheap Mexican labor that we can now exploit as North American workers from Mexico. And clearly all of our politicians are pushing in this direction. Both Hillary and McCain are solidly on the side that we need these cheap Mexican workers. I mean, what's going on here in globalism? These free trade agreements are not fair trade agreements. They're not classical free trade agreements. Classical free trade agreements would never allow to say that a country like China could subsidize its currency, use slaves to produce the goods or near slaves, could destroy the environment with their manufacturing companies, and, you know, in the end send us defective products like lead paint on toys and poisoned food. That's what China's doing. If we allow that to happen, if we allow our companies to go for another wave of slavery, this time not using African Americans or shoeless children in mines like at the turn of the century, but to go after Chinese slaves that we can't see, well, a classical economist would say if you allow your trade agreements to be in China's favor, all the jobs will go to China of any significance. Because, you know, the globalism will end up meaning I can find some slaves somewhere in the world who will do your job cheaper than you. And if I can't export the mowing of your lawn, I'll find some slave from Mexico who will do it cheaper than can be done by an American. That goes the same for the chicken plucking plants in Arkansas and all the other construction companies that were using illegal immigration until construction just about stopped in the United States with the housing crisis. And, you know, that's the globalism is a rush to the bottom in wages. And it's to the direct detriment of the U.S. middle class.
Well, you know, and I can't help make an observation because I was a student of Native American history for 2 years on a large project concerning the Cherokee. And one of the aspects of the downfall of their civilization, not just the Cherokee, but all Native Americans, is that they became dependent on foreign-produced goods. And they lost their soul, and to a Native American, that's their land. And I see the same thing happening to us. We're virtually losing our soul because of our addiction to consumerism.
Well, and to the cheap goods that we're getting at the Walmart and the Kmarts, which have a very heavy price. The heavy price is we've lost 3 million jobs nationwide in manufacturing to largely to China and India since George Bush was in office. And the economics professors like Alan Blinder, who advised Bill Clinton to pass NAFTA. You know, it's bipartisan, as I keep pointing out. Hillary Clinton and John McCain are equally globalists. George H.W. Bush, George Bush, and Bill Clinton are equally globalists. Alan Blinder of Princeton says we're going to lose 40 million jobs in the next two decades to outsourcing under globalism. We won't even produce our own food. We won't produce our own ranches, our own cattle. They'll all be coming from overseas because it can be done by some slave somewhere down in South America or China cheaper. And that's...
If we have a service economy, which we're morphing into, then where's the money going to come from for people to spend into this so-called new economy?
Well, that's what you're seeing happen. You're seeing that the service economy is a plan to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. It ends up killing the middle class. The U.S. consumers driven the world market. What the globalists have decided is let's kill the American middle class. Because then it's the only way they can see to break the hold of the United States as a nation state. The American middle class in a recession or depression will give up sovereignty and give up their currency. Because they'll be scared to death. That they're going to, you know, be back to the soup lines of the 30s. And with that, the globalists think, well, we'll then move to a global market where we'll, instead of having one strong country with a consumer population, they want to develop lower quality but broader, you know, consumers with less money across the globe.
Yeah, and people are going to be also so willing to give up their security as well. We're going to take another break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
This is an urgent RBN financial bulletin. Have you ever thought about making a little extra money at home with your computer? If you have and you would like to make money by actually learning how to beat Bilderberger insiders at their own game, this will be the most interesting message you will ever hear. Here is why. We all know that knowledge is power, but what most people don't know about is how to gain the kind of knowledge that insiders would really rather that you didn't have. Once you get that knowledge, it then becomes a question of turning that information into financial gain. Well, there's now a very real chance you will actually be able to make money this way. Here's what it's all about. There's a new program available that teaches you how to scan the media for enormously profitable insider stories. Once you learn what's ahead for a given company, you'll have an enormous advantage over the rest of the market. Get the details at www.earlymorningadvantage.com. That's earlymorningadvantage.com or call 815-259-4552. Once again, the site is www.earlymorningadvantage.com.
Welcome back to the program. I just want to bring a quick word from one of our sponsors. You might have heard of one of RBN's sponsors, Cartavite. This product is no joke. If you're having health problems, getting tired or worn down, then you need Cartavite. Cartavite supports cardiovascular, blood pressure, cholesterol levels, and delivers nutrients to your cells. Plus, it's all natural. Visit our sponsor today at www.heartdrop.com or call 877-928-8822. And I also wanted to mention, don't forget to visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. I have some articles that I've just posted there and a lot of other very valuable information for you. Well, Jerome, before we went to the break, I mentioned something about security. And I want to tell you a little story. I was in London a couple of years ago visiting a friend, an American who married a Brit. And we were standing in the subway, and she was telling me about how frightened she was after the London bombings a couple of years ago. And I said, but can't you see that all of this is orchestrated to bring forth a fascist state? And she said, well, I'd rather live under fascism than terrorism. And I think that has to be one of the most quintessential mindsets today, not just in America, but it's something that we have, a psyche that's been developed in order for people to be so willing to give up their freedoms. And, you know, in the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership, as it's called, What are some of the so-called security initiatives that are being set forth that they're going to sell to the American people?
Well, and you know, I think you're exactly right. Also, the same points I want to make on the economy. Most American families live about one or two paychecks away from financial disaster, where they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay their credit cards if they don't get paychecks. And, you know, with that short of a leash, no savings, no backup, American families can be threatened very easily by an economic downturn in which jobs dry up and in which, you know, taxes remain high for homes and for paying all the social welfare benefits to our poor and as well now increasingly to illegal immigrants. I mean, these are burdens that Americans are on a very, very short leash for, and Americans will say, okay, I'll become a North American Union if I'll get my job back, or if it'll mean I don't have to lose my home. The same kind of fear people will face and are going to be made to face. Now, the security initiatives under the Security and Prosperity Partnership are mostly aimed at defining the perimeter that we're going to protect is around the continent. In other words, instead of worrying about the border with Mexico or Canada, the idea is to integrate the border enforcement units of the three countries and to worry about who gets into North America, not who gets between Mexico. You know, we're all going to be trusted travelers and trusted traders. So you'll be able to get a North American border pass card, you know, with biometric IDs. This is all described. I'm not making any of this up. You read the working, you go to spp.gov and read the 2005-2006 report to the leaders. You will see the discussion of biometric border pass cards for North American trusted travelers and trusted traders. In fact, they've already been implemented. This Mexican trucking demonstration project, the Department of Transportation is running. They've created fast lanes at the border. They've created biometric IDs that they've issued to the North American trusted traders, the Mexican truck drivers, who are authorized, and the trucking companies authorized to participate in this demonstration project, run their long-haul rigs anywhere they want in the United States. They come to the border, they do a 15-second electronic check, along with an electronic manifest that shows up at the border before they do. Nobody opens the truck, inspects the truck, looks at the truck. It's all cleared through by, you know, SPP electronics. It's already in place. And that's the future vision, where we become an integrated economy, and, you know, Mexican trucks will be able to run anywhere they want in the United States. They'll undercut U.S. trucks. But remember, a lot of these moves economically are a rush to the bottom in wages. So if a Mexican truck driver can do it cheaper, or an American company, trucking company, can go to Mexico and operate as a Mexican trucking company, they can run their rigs into the United States under Mexican rules, including lower pay scales. And these things are already happening. I mean, the demonstration project's in place. Congress voted to take the money out of the Department of Transportation. Senator Dorgan put an amendment into the Department of Transportation's fiscal year 2008 funding bill. It was passed and signed by the president in the omnibus spending bill. The Department of Transportation says we're going to ignore it because we started our demonstration project with the Mexican trucks in September, which was before the legislation was contemplated. Senator Dorgan got the Legislative Council of the Senate and House to write a letter saying the legislative history of the Dorgan Amendment was intended to stop this exact Mexican trucking experiment that began in September. And the Legislative Council charged the White House and the Department of Transportation with breaking the law. Nothing happened. Trucks are still being approved and coming across the border. That's how much violation of our law and disrespect for Congress the Bush administration has in their determination to open the border with Mexico.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago I talked about all the signing statements that Bush has executed when he would get a bill from Congress. Instead of vetoing it and working with Congress, he would just attach some language to it that basically said he was the one that had the final authority to decide. Are any of these initiatives that we're talking about today with the North American Union, have they been included in any of the signing statements he's made?
No, they haven't had to, because he's done these separately. They've just been decided as, you know, they hold a summit meeting in Montebello or in Quebec like they just did in August. And at the end of it, they issue that the working groups have agreed upon a new avian flu and pandemic, influenza pandemic North American policy. And the North American policy on avian flu and influenza pandemics puts us under the UN. The Blue Helmets are in charge if we have an avian flu breakout. And that's already signed by the working groups. It never came to Congress, but if you go to SPP.gov, it's right there in the middle of the page as one of the agreements that was determined at Montebello. You just have to go and read what they are signing and doing bureaucratically. This is a bureaucratic coup d'etat, just like it was in Europe. The European bureaucrats put together the regulatory structure of the European Union under the premise of implementing trade agreements without taking new votes to the European people. And the same is being done in the United States.
So how will this merger reconstruct judicial powers?
Well, you see the very beginnings of it. For instance, we now have Chapter 11 tribunals. Chapter 11 tribunals is a judicial process under NAFTA where a judicial group, like three judges appointed by, you know, the NAFTA organization, can overturn a U.S. law or a state law when it conflicts with the NAFTA investor. In fact, the Mexican truck demonstration project, when it was argued on the floor of the Senate, you know, John Cornyn, a Republican senator from Texas, said, well, this is a treaty obligation. Well, first of all, NAFTA is not a treaty. And secondly, they said, well, we have to do this because it was a NAFTA provision. Well, Bill Clinton said that the Mexican trucks didn't meet our standards, and a NAFTA Chapter 11 tribunal overruled Bill Clinton. And we are now implementing a NAFTA Chapter 11 tribunal decision that the Mexican trucks have to come into the United States. And most people have no concept that that's already being done. Those powers just get expanded so that when we have trade disputes among, you know, security and prosperity partnership companies, you know, you get a Canadian company that sues under NAFTA and the SPP because our red dye regulations are different than in Canada. They want to export their food to us without following our red dye provisions. They sue. The NAFTA tribunal could overturn our laws on food additives if it viewed it to the detriment of a NAFTA investor.
Hmm.
That's how it starts. And then, you know, the bureaucrats, when they set, here's the North American steel policy, here's the North American water policy. Well, we don't, you know, okay, here's the North American pharmaceutical policy. You know, they've just done this in Europe where they've decided a whole class of vitamins are no longer going to be available. It'd be criminal to buy things like vitamin E or vitamin C in Europe unless you've got a prescription. Because the pharmaceutical companies, the major food producers, do not want a vitamin supplement industry existing as a competitor. They want to control that, and they want to put it out of business. They've done that in Europe, and they're moving to do it here. And they're doing it through, they combine with the United Nations. They work with the Codex Alimentarius, which is the United Nations code. And if you read the SPP working group documents on food and agriculture, they're implementing the Codex Alimentarius regimen and laws and regulations into North American food and agricultural rules. And then it takes over the FDA. The FDA, instead of having U.S. law determine it, now looks to the determinations of the working group and SPP and says, we'll follow this as what we implement. And suddenly you get the beginning of lawsuits and other, you know, actions taken against food supplement companies that the pharmaceutical companies, the major agribusinesses in North America, don't want operating.
Well, so now that you bring up pharmaceuticals and bird flu and all that, what does the World Health Organization, how are they integrated in all this?
Well, what happens is the bureaucrats, when they get together, you know, these trilateral working groups, you know, U.S., Mexican, and Canadian bureaucrats, they look to the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, the U.N., to give the standards by which their regulations need to be standardized. They don't look to U.S. Congress. They don't look to the U.S. people. They look to international laws, and they put those into the structure of North American regulations. That's what's happening. And in the process, you're setting the stage not only for regional government, but for world government, Because by the time the bureaucrats have made all the regulations in all the countries identical, then, you know, the UN actually is setting the guidelines, or the World Trade Organization, or the World Health Organization. U.S. Congress then will be told, wait a minute, you can't pass that law because it violates something that we've already done on a North American basis. Just like in Europe, they tell Italy, you can't pass that law because it violates a European Union determination. That's what they're living under right now in Europe.
Yeah, and I can't think of any scenario that bespeaks of losing national sovereignty more than that.
Well, that's it. I mean, we lose control. Congress then, instead of setting regulations the way supposedly the American people want them set as our representatives, Congress has to defer to the nameless bureaucrats who set the rules in the international organizations. Because it's now the working groups, these bureaucrats in North America, deferring to the United Nations, the World Trade Organization, etc., who set up what the regulations are going to be. And they tell Congress, I'm sorry, but your law, your regulation's out of order. So it's not valid. We don't accept it. Just like right now, the Department of Transportation is telling Congress, we're sorry, but we're not going to respect your denying us funds because we're operating under a NAFTA tribunal decision, and you're taking away funds we don't view as valid. We're going to spend the money anyway. We're going to keep doing the Mexican trucks anyway. What are you going to do about it? They've already told that to Congress.
Yeah, it's sort of a you can't make me attitude.
You can't make me stop. The bureaucrats are in charge, and they're defying the laws set by Congress, deferring to a higher authority already, which is NAFTA and NAFTA tribunals.
So if this move is to coalesce resources and labor and the economy, are they going to tell us that there's going to be one language?
No, they won't do that. They'll allow three languages. All the documents of the Security and Prosperity Partnership are published in Spanish, English, and French. I mean, it's another thing. You know, I've got a shelf full here of documents from the Security and Prosperity Partnership. I've got three color printed books that they did in their 2005-2006 report to the leaders that hardly anybody has seen. They only printed about 1,000 copies. So it's going to become a rare book. But it's in three languages in full color of the reports of the leaders. And, you know, I've gone into senators and congressmen's office with these reports and they've never seen them.
Well, I would imagine that they're so overloaded, and the Senate amnesty guest worker bill was 300 pages. You know, they don't have time to read all this stuff. They're overwhelmed, and I guess that's by design. That's part of the
whether
strategy.
It's by design or not, it's the job of the senators and congressmen to know what's going on, especially
Absolutely.
When something is critical, as a Security and Prosperity Partnership has just declared, and we're operating under it. It takes me writing a book, The Late Great USA, and publishing in the book, you know, page 81, the organizational chart. I mean, they're also redesigning our transportation system. This is what I pointed out in the book, too. I focus on the Trans-Texas Corridor, which is a new 4-football-field-wide highway that's being built in Texas from Laredo through Dallas, Austin, right up to the border with Oklahoma. It's going to be financed by Spain, Cintra, C-I-N-T-R-A, investment consortium in Spain, though, by the way, Rudy Giuliani's law firm, Bracewell and Giuliani in Houston, represented. And the highway is designed to reach down into the ports in Mexico, like Lazaro Cardenas and Manzanilla, because they want to bring in these super container ships, the millions of containers from China that will come up through these new north-south corridors. They don't want to bring the containers in anymore to Long Beach and Los Angeles. It's too expensive using longshoremen. They can use Mexican dock workers. They don't want to use they want to use U.S. trucks or trains to transport the containers into the heart of the United States. They'd rather bring them into Lazaro Cardenas and Manzanilla, unload the containers, millions of them, you know, with all the cheap goods that are going to be manufactured for us, and bring them up in these superhighways with Mexican trucks and Mexican trains. And the rest of us will have to ride these superhighways paying tolls. And that's the whole design of for the trucking companies and for the trains, they'll pay tolls too, but they didn't have to invest a penny to create the infrastructure.
So who's paying for all of it?
Cintra in Spain, a foreign investment consortium that will pay for it and own the leasing rights for 50 years after it's built. And driving the Trans-Texas Corridor from Houston to Dallas, or from Dallas to Austin, rather, along I-35, it'll be parallel to I-35, you'll have to pay Spain for the privilege to ride that road. And the non-compete agreements in the agreements settled and signed with Cintra specify that that Texas will not be able to improve Interstate 35 because it would take revenue away from Cintra and the Trans-Texas Corridor. In fact,
more control from external governments into our own.
And ownership, even if it's under leases by foreign entities, of U.S. infrastructure.
Well, it sounds like a pure cash cow for Spain.
But that's the intent.
Yep. Well, we're going to take one more break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
And welcome back to our final segment today. We're talking with Jerome Corsi about the North American Union. And I just want to let you have the last few minutes, Jerome, just to summarize where are we going with all of this?
Well,
how imminent is it?
The whole process is moving very fast. I mean, I think by 2015, the goal is to put major pieces of this North American common market, this North American union into place. It's happening. It's a fait accompli process. Like I say, we've got 10% of Mexico's population living here already as Mexican national citizens. By 2010, that'll be 20%. One out of every five people born in Mexico living here. We will not vote to do that. It'll be a fait accompli. We've sent already to the Bush administration 3 million jobs to China, largely outsourcing to the slaves in China and unfair trade advantages to China, so the multinational corporations make greater profits. Next two decades, we'll send 40 million more jobs overseas. That's what the economists like Alan Blinder are telling us from Princeton. So it's going to be, you know, every year you're going to be seeing more jobs lost, more containers coming into the United States. I think this economic crisis that we're going into will be a major force to push integration in North America. I think the dollar will remain under strong attack, and we will be told that the only solution is to create a regional currency comparable to the euro, the Amero. I think our highways will be reconfigured. We're going to be seeing more containers. You already had cities like Denver, Kansas City, San Antonio say they're inland ports. You know, the water in San Antonio they're talking about is not the Riverwalk. It's Lázaro Cárdenas down in Mexico. And they're saying the containers are going to be intermodal, which means you pick up the container in a crane, you put it on a ship, you sail it across the ocean, then you pick it up in a crane and you put it on a truck or train and take it to a regional warehouse in San Antonio, Denver, or Kansas City. It'll be picked up by another truck or train and taken to the local distribution for Walmart, Kmart, or whatever mart. And this intermodal transportation of containers is going to be the new focus of the redesign of the next generation of highways we'll have in the United States, and they will largely be toll roads and likely operated under these public-private partnerships by foreign entities. We're moving in that direction. Out of this economic crisis, we're going to see banks that need capital as they have an asset crisis on owning collateralized mortgage obligations that are worthless from this, you know, mortgage bubble bursting and other lending bubbles bursting, and they'll go continuously to Dubai and to the Middle East, to China to find the capital they need, and we'll emerge out of this with our major financial institutions owned by foreigners.
And the foreigners are all too happy to come in and own our country. And so
sure.
What sounds like you're saying is we're going to be reduced to a third world nation status.
Middle class will largely be gone.
Yeah.
If you go to Ohio and Michigan today, the middle class is already in the process of being gone. You know, the only ones who will win out of this are at the top.
It sounds like an encroaching system that's going to be solidified before Americans really know what has happened to them. Well, I want
to
thank you so much for being on the show today, Jerome. And I wanted to remind everyone about his New York Times bestseller, The Late Great USA, The Coming Merger with Mexico and Canada. Be sure and pick up a copy. Stay informed. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network. And remember that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Jerome, thanks for coming on the show today.
A great honor and pleasure to be with you, Nadia. Thank you.
I hope you'll come back again.
Anytime you ask.
We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
To everything, turn.
With recent international flight from